Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Bienvenue à la présentation des résultats de BRP Inc. pour son quatrième trimestre et l'exercice financier 2015. Welcome to BRP Inc.'s fourth quarter and fiscal year 2015 financial results. L'appel est sur le point de commencer. Je vais maintenant céder la parole à M. Pascal Bossé. The call is about to begin. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Pascal Bossé.
Merci beaucoup, Sébastien. Good morning and welcome to BRP's fourth quarter and year-end results for fiscal 2015. Joining me on the call this morning are José Boisjoli, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Sébastien Martel, Chief Financial Officer. Before we move to the prepared remarks, I would like to remind everyone that certain forward-looking statements will be made during the call that are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties. I invite you to read BRP's MD&A for a listing of those. Also, during the call, references will be made to supporting slides, and you can find the presentation on our website at brp.com under the Investor Relations section. So with no further ado, I will turn the call over to José Boisjoli.
Thank you, Pascal. Good morning, everyone. BRP reported this morning its result for fiscal year 2015, highlighted by double-digit revenue and profitability growth and a good free cash flow generation. Starting with an overview of the financial result on slide 4, revenue increased 10% compared to prior year to reach $3.5 billion. The increase was driven by a 14% increase in revenue from North America, offsetting the weaker performance in Eastern Europe. Our gross profit margin for full year was 24%, a decrease that is notably due to unfavorable currency exchange rates impacting margin by 100 basis points. Overall, our performance resulted in an 11% increase in normalized EBITDA and a 16% increase in diluted normalized earnings per share compared to fiscal year 2014. I would like to highlight that the effective tax rate was lower than expected, and Sébastien will cover the financial result in greater detail in a moment. So all in all, the year turned out more challenging because of the shift toward the back end of the year, but we nevertheless steer the course and we focus on the execution of our plan to deliver solid result. Moving to the business highlight on slide 5. Revenue from North America increased by 14% compared to prior year. Our retail sales for seasonal and year-round product increased by 8% when compared to last year. Revenues from international increased moderately by 3%, driven by the strong reception of the Sea-Doo Spark and higher volume of year-round products. This increase includes a 25% decline in revenue from Russia. Excluding Eastern Europe, revenue from international increased by 8%. Operationally, we also accomplished a lot, and I'm proud of the collective effort of our teams to execute on the strategic initiative. One of the objectives is to constantly bring to consumer market-shaping products, and this year again was no exception across all our product lines. In snowmobile, we introduced the T3 package available on the Summit X Mountain sled, an offering that is unique in the industry. And the Renegade XRS, a sled that is having a strong market success in the crossover segment. In year-round product, we introduced the Outlander L family of ATVs, a brand new offering in the mid-CC category that bring the Can-Am DNA to the largest segment of the ATV market. The Maverick XDS and XDS Turbo, the first side-by-side available with a factory-installed turbocharger, and last but not least, the Can-Am Spyder F3, a brand-new approach to the roadster with a lowered seat, layback riding position, and a unique look that will attract to a broad customer base. And in propulsion system, we introduced the Evinrude E-Tech G2, a completely new and differentiated offering in the outboard engine business. This launch has created a lot of noise in the marine industry, so much that we successfully signed 20 North American boat builders throughout the year. The market reaction and consumer reception to all these new products has been very positive. Another of our key strategies is to grow margin long-term, and while we witness a decrease in gross margin, we are very much focused on project execution, such as completing the transfer of our personal watercraft assembly to Mexico. We also surpassed our targeted 65 to 75 new dealers in North America, with the addition of 76 new dealers in fiscal year 2015. Finally, before closing on operation, I would like to take the opportunity to thank all our employees for their engagement and hard work and for delivering the best ever performance on the health and safety front. Our workplace accident rate stood at 0.87 for last year, a result I consider to be world-class performance. We strive to nurture a culture where employees look after the safety of their colleagues as well as their own, and I am pleased of this year's accomplishment. Turning to year-round products, our revenue bounced 53% in the quarter, driven by shipment of the Outlander L ATV family for a full quarter, shipment of the Maverick XDS and XDS Turbo, and shipment of the Can-Am Spyder F3. Also, we witnessed a change in ordering behavior from our dealers in North America, with some of our RV shipments shifting from Q3 to Q4 as a result of the monthly online ordering management system. This tool enables our dealers to better match deliveries with the spring retail season, which explained part of the bump in year-round product revenues. Industry-wide for ATV, season to date, the industry is about flat, while Can-Am ATV retail is up low single digit, driven by the mid-CC segment. The feedback of our customers to our product offering is encouraging with a complete lineup, and I'm happy with the market reception of the Outlander L family of ATVs. For side-by-side, the North American industry is up mid-teens season to date, and we are trending behind in terms of market share due to continued growth in the utility segment that we do not compete in, representing about 60% of the volume today. No doubt that the off-road vehicle business is highly dynamic, and this is an environment where BRP thrives through product innovation and value proposition to consumers. This segment will be an important earnings lever for several years to come, and I look forward to bringing to the market innovative product that will help BRP grow its year-round product business. On the roadster side, very early in the season, the motorcycle industry is up low double digit, driven by low displacement sport motorcycle, while Can-Am is up high single digit. Following the launch of the Spyder F3 in September, a demo tour has been traveling across the U.S. and Europe to promote the product with a riding is believing claim. We started shipping to dealers in January, and so a limited number of units have been retail, but I'm very pleased with the excellent reviews worldwide. From its configuration, the Spyder F3 opened new opportunities to grow the lineup, and it is appealing to a large audience, the cruiser market, representing an estimated two-thirds of the traditional motorcycle industry. On slide 7, an update on the URIS 2 project. We broke ground in November, and the construction of the 400,000-square-foot facility is well on its way. The proximity to our existing URIS 1 plan provides us with operational synergy with supplier, an excellent talent pool, and flexibility to leverage the existing employee base to reduce startup risk. The project is on track, and we are planning to start up production on the back end of the fourth quarter. Now, the seasonal product on slide 8. Revenue decreased by 4% in the quarter compared to prior year. The decrease in revenue was mostly driven by the situation in Russia and Scandinavia. As of January 31st, the North American snowmobile industry was up mid-single digit season to date, with Ski-Doo gaining market share. We had a late start to the season in the East, but the average snowfall combined with sustained cold temperature in January, February, and March preserved the snow coverage, so overall we had a good year in the east. However, in the Midwest and on the West Coast, snow conditions have been variable with weak precipitation, noticeably in the mountain where we had a poor season. At international, Scandinavia had a second year of weak snow coverage, and so the industry is down low double digits season to date, with BRP retail slightly below the industry. Moving to our personal watercraft performance in the quarter season to date, the North American industry is up low single digit, with Sea-Doo retail sales tracking with the industry. We had a great season 14 last year with industry up about 20%, and because we are expecting another good season, we started manufacturing earlier this year. The Spark continues to pull new consumers to the category with a value proposition that is unique in the industry, and as such, we are increasing our availability of the Sea-Doo Spark in fiscal year 16. We will continue to strategically position the Sea-Doo Spark unit in the sales channel here and abroad. We are also on track to produce approximately 50% of traditional watercraft in Mexico in fiscal year 16, reaching 100% by the end of fiscal year 17. The financial benefit of the transfer are muted by the fact that we are transitioning with production at two locations this year. We are nonetheless on target for absolute margin improvement of between $20 and $25 million by fiscal year 2017. Now turning to model year 2016, a month ago we host our club Ski-Doo and introduce a solid lineup of snowmobile highlighted by the Renegade Enduro model, a set that is inspired by an adventure motorcycle to deliver all-around capability wherever it's being taken. The Summit Burton Edition, a sled that is appealing to snowboarders and skiers looking for easier access to the backcountry. The 1200 four-stroke engine option on the XS chassis, extending the availability of the intelligent throttle control technology with its three driving mode. And finally, the MXZ Blizzard snowmobile with a 129-inch track, an excellent value available all in season. We also introduce new technology such as the industry-first adjustable ski, the Pilot TS, a redesigned ski providing riders the ability to instantly adjust ski bite for changing snow condition and riding styles. The new Pilot ski comes standard on 7 models and is available as an accessory, which we believe will be very popular. Slide 10. Our propulsion system revenue grew by 44% in the quarter to $108 million, directly impacted by the ramp-up in deliveries of the Evinrude E-Tech G2. It's still early, but the North American season kicked off with attendance at boat show trending positively and continued good reaction to the G2. 7 months into the season, the North American outboard engine industry retail is up mid-single digit, while BRP retail sales were up low single digit over the same period. As we mentioned on previous earnings call, the industry growth is mainly driven by an increase in outboard engine sales on new boats versus the repower business. As we said in Q3, we expect this trend to continue for the next model year. Evinrude has traditionally focused on the repower segment, but we are actively working to be more present in new boat segment. I am pleased to report that we've signed 20 boat builders in North America and 2 at International since the G2 launch, and we've signed 78 Evinrude dealers in North America and 8 at International in the past year. We are also working with boat OEM partners to facilitate the integration of the G2 and color matching option for future model year. Finally, on propulsion system, we continue to work with Chaparral and Red Boat Holding in North America to distribute our jet propulsion system and we continue discussion with other boat OEM brands. On the part, accessories and clothing side, the overall business was up 2% in the quarter. The growth came primarily from FX and from snowmobile related vehicle part, accessories and clothing in North America. And this was offset by lower sales of snowmobile pack in Scandinavia and Russia. We've just introduced our model year 16 snowmobile lineup, and our offering is solid with the Pilot TS key, an innovative quick-adjust limiter strap on the Summit models, and a wide selection of riding gear. Before turning over to Seb, just an update on our objective to optimize our dealer network in North America. We added a total of 76 new dealers in fiscal year 15. That, added to the 38 from last year, brings the total count to 112 since the objective was introduced. Moreover, we expanded the North American side-by-side and roadster dealer coverage by 10%. We are continuing on this momentum with a target of signing between 75 and 85 new dealers in fiscal year 16, with a goal to have between 200 and 300 new dealers by the end of fiscal year 2017. And with that, I will turn the call over to Seb, and will return for closing remark and an outlook. Sébastien?
Thank you, José, and good morning, everyone. This morning, we reported revenues of $1.068 billion for the fourth quarter of fiscal 15, an 18% increase from the fourth quarter of last year. As indicated by José, for the 12 months ended January 31st, revenues amounted to $3.5 billion, a 10% increase over fiscal 2014. Our gross profit amounted to $289 million for the quarter, resulting in gross margins of 27.1%, an increase of 240 basis points over last year. Normalizing for elements, most notably the $112 million loss on our U.S. dollar-denominated debt, normalized net income stood at $116 million, an increase of $68 million compared to the same period last year. Normalized EBITDA amounted to $199 million, and normalized diluted earnings per share is 98 cents. For the full year, normalized EBITDA amounted to $421 million and ended at the higher end of our guidance, and normalized EPS at 165 is above our guidance. Foreign exchange rates were quite volatile in the quarter, with a material appreciation in the U.S. dollar, and this drove the majority of the $12 million foreign exchange gain recorded this quarter from the revaluation of balance sheet items. And it impacted our EPS by 7 cents per share in the quarter. In the fourth quarter, we also benefited from a reduced tax rate as a result of newly enacted laws, which impacted EPS favorably by an additional 3 cents. So when you consider the foreign exchange gain and the tax rate changes, EPS was impacted favorably by a total of 10 cents this quarter. You might recall that the Q3 tax rate also benefited from the retroactive application of newly enacted rates, so therefore bringing the total impact on EPS to 5 cents for the full year. Turning to our revenues by product categories and geographies on slide 15. Revenue growth was very strong for year-round products and propulsion systems this quarter, and new product deliveries were a big driver of the revenue increase. Also for ORVs, with our dealer order management system, we saw a shift in dealer demand from Q3 to Q4, and this also increased revenues in the quarter. Despite a very volatile Russian ruble, our snowmobile sales to our Russian distributor ended better than planned. On the pack side, portional riding conditions in certain parts of the world hurt overall sales and resulted in annual revenue slightly below guidance. The breakdown by geography was 53% of our sales this quarter from the U.S., 17% from Canada, and 30% from international. Normalized net income bridge on slide 16. Normalized net income increased by $68 million as a result of the following items. Volume and mix, pricing and sales program had a net positive impact of $59 million. Production costs and operating expenses were favorable $14 million. And these were partly offset by higher income tax expense compared to last year for $21 million and higher depreciation charge for $4 million. As I talked earlier, foreign exchange impacted our results favorably this quarter, and even more so when comparing to last year, where we reported an FX loss, this resulting in a year-over-year variance of $20 million. Moving to balance sheet items, our cash position ended at $232 million. Working capital, defined as current assets less current liabilities, increased in fiscal 15 compared to 14, driven mostly by a higher cash balance. Currency impact on our U.S. dollar-denominated long-term debt resulted in a $145 million increase, and we had no drawings on the revolver at year-end. CapEx increased $19 million compared to prior year for a total amount of $172 million within our guidance for the year. Free cash flow was very strong in the fourth quarter, and this resulted in $203 million of free cash flow for the year ended January 31st. Now, slide 18 for a look at BRP's power sport dealer inventory for North America at the end of January. Dealer inventory is up 15% for the fourth quarter versus fourth quarter 2014 levels, and this is due to higher snowmobile inventory levels compared to an all-time low last year and higher PWC inventory for the upcoming season. We started shipping newly introduced products this quarter ahead of the spring and summer retail season. We consider our inventory levels in the network to be adequate. Now for our guidance for fiscal 16 on slide 19. For the year, we are expecting revenue growth in total company revenues of 5 to 9%, driven by a 7 to 11% increase in year-round products. Excluding effects, factors that are contributing to the increase in revenues are new model deliveries in all product categories, the expansion of our North America distribution network, and our marketing efforts to increase brand and product awareness. As we are not in the largest segment of the SSV industry, the utility segment, we are not fully benefiting from the mid-double-digit SSV industry growth expected this season. For our seasonal business, fiscal year 15 was a great year as we benefited from two key factors. One, an exceptional year for snowmobile deliveries in North America, driven by a strong lineup, a healthy industry, and replenishment of dealer inventories. And two, strong PWC results with the success of Spark, especially in the second half of the year as we ramped up capacity and deliveries in anticipation of the upcoming retail season. These two elements were offset in part by lower deliveries of snowmobile in Russia. Therefore, for next year, we are planning revenue to be flat to up 4% in seasonal products. We are planning for reduced snowmobile volume in North America and a further volume decline in Russia as our distributor was impacted by weak snowfall and continues to be impacted by the overall economic condition. As for PWC, the outlook is positive and the upcoming retail season will provide further insight as to the full market potential of Spark. Propulsion systems revenues is planned up 7 to 10% as we continue to build the momentum of the Evinrude G2. And we are planning a 10 to 15% increase in our revenues from PAC. Normalized EBITDA is forecasted to grow between 6 and 10%. Our effective tax rate is expected to range from between 27 to 29%, up from 22% last year. The increase in tax rate is driven by the retroactive tax adjustments experienced in fiscal year 15, but also by a forecasted higher mix of profit from countries with a higher tax rate. Depreciation expense is forecasted to increase by $22 million to $135 million. As a result of investments in the last few years in product innovation and manufacturing footprint expansion. Compared to fiscal year 15, net income is planned to be down 9 to flat. Adjusting for fiscal year 15 tax rate, which ended at a low 22%, normalized net income growth will be between flat to up 7% when using the same fiscal year 16 tax rate applied to both years. Finally, this results in normalized diluted EPS guidance of between 150 to 165. We have also provided you with a forecast of capital expenditures for the year of between $200 to $220 million versus last year. CapEx is impacted unfavorably by approximately $15 million due to foreign exchange next year. Turning to slide 20, we are comparing our tax rate of 22% in fiscal 15 to our fiscal 14 tax rate of 25 and to historical rates from prior years. For fiscal 16 and onward, we expect consolidated income tax rate to increase to the range of 27 to 29%. As mentioned before, this increase is driven by a higher mix of profit from countries with a higher tax rate and to a lesser extent by the 5-cent benefit of the retroactive tax laws enacted in fiscal year 15. And so therefore, when adjusting fiscal year 15 EPS to the guided 27 to 29 tax rate, the implied normalized earnings per share growth is flat to up 7%. Turning to slide 21, we are providing you with an assessment of expected profitability distribution throughout next year. As such, based on our forecast, we are planning a slightly better profit distribution between the first half and second half. However, similar to fiscal 15, we expect a stronger second half. And finally, our exposure to currencies on slide 22. You might recall from the IPO that in our procurement strategy, we attempt to hedge the exposure to the U.S. dollar and the euro by having a cost base that matches the currency of our revenue. As a result, for fiscal 16, we are slightly short the U.S. dollar, the euro, and the Mexican pesos, and we have long positions in several export markets, most notably the Scandinavian countries. Based on current exchange rates, the expected impact on fiscal year 16 is a positive 500 basis points on revenues, but a negative 100 basis points on gross margins. As the pricing of most of our products is benchmarked to the U.S., in most of the regions we serve, we do view favorably the appreciation of the U.S. dollar long-term. This concludes my remarks, and I will turn the call back to Jose.
Thank you, Sébastien. The year clearly turned out more volatile than we anticipated, with several externalities to cope with, but we stayed the course, kept the focus, and delivered on our objectives. We grew sales in all product categories, grew revenue from the international market despite Russia, exceeded our objective for new dealer in North America, and launched several exciting products with significant volume potential. Our history suggests that our EBITDA distribution will typically be 40% in the first half and 60% in the second half, but we ended up fiscal year 15 with a 20-80 split. Factors such as the timing of major product introduction, weather condition, or currency exchange rate will bring volatility in our earning distribution. And fiscal 15 was a perfect combination of those three factors. I certainly prefer a smoother earning distribution over a back-ended loaded profitability. But we experienced those splits in our history and in the past 2 years, and most importantly, we deliver on our commitment. So to summarize, our execution resulted in a strong financial performance for fiscal year 15, and we have good revenue and earning growth expected next year and beyond. We have a lot of new exciting product in the pipeline, which we will introduce all year long, and I look forward to continue growing BRP into the future. Thank you again for your support, and we'll now take questions.
So, Sébastien, we're now ready to take questions. So if we could ask our participants to only ask a few questions at a time and return to the queue so that we get the questions from the most people. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bossier. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register for questions. We thank you for your patience. The first question is from Steve Arthur of RBC Capital Markets. La première question est de Steve Arthur, RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead. La parole est à vous.
Great. Thank you very much. I just want to follow up on one of your latter points there, just in terms of the EBITDA weighting into fiscal 16. I understand that's the normal pattern, but to the degree of it in fiscal 16 surprises me a little bit. I would have thought with all the recently launched products contributing to the first half that it might have been closer to that 40-60. Any color on why that is, a heavier weighting again in the back half into 16?
But we saw some change this year, Steve, and we believe next year, with our planning that we have right now, we believe that 16 will be similar to 15. Again, there will be a lot of new product introduction throughout the year that with the timing of those new products and with the ramp-up of watercraft in Mexico because the full production will be in Mexico starting that fall, the URAs ramp-up, the URAs to ramp-up for a new off-road segment, then with all of those elements together, we believe that we're planning our distribution H1, H2 similar to 15.
Is the Juarez 2 contribution in fiscal 16 a meaningful part of that?
Again, we're going to be starting production late Q4, so it should be more a cost than a contribution because we'll have startup costs. So until we are full ramp up, it will take a few months. So Q4 next year will be more of a cost than a benefit.